I'm about to ask you to clap, so you might want to put out your lights so you don't catch the whole place on fire. Welcome. It's great to have you all here this evening, and I'd like to give a big thanks to all the kids who and adults who spent so much time working to learn their lines and learn their parts and learn when they're supposed to come in and come out. Can we all give them a round of applause? Really great, great work. I'd like to also thank our choir director, Michael Berman, and the choir who sang so beautifully tonight. Thank you very much. And everyone who put the thing together, put the script together, organized it, ran the practices. I don't want to name names because there's too many people and I'll forget some. So let's just give everyone a big hand of applause who had part in that. Now, I need to say a few words about what this evening is and what it's for. Many of you have heard much of what I'm about to say, but some of you perhaps not. I will be brief. I can do that. You might not know I can do that, but I can do that. I promise. We live in a can-do society. Maybe I should wait till they not destroy the... Okay. There we go. All right. We live in a can-do society. If you have a problem, there's always something you can do about it. Always a remedy. A book you can read, a class you can take, a TED Talk you can watch, an essential oil you can buy and apply, a yoga, a routine, a better diet, a new career, a new hobby. There's always something you can do to make your life work again. And it's the most natural thing in the world, to carry that way of thinking over into the spiritual realm. And just about every religion or spiritual path out there is ready to accommodate. Here's how you must now live. This is how you must now eat. Here is what you should now wear. This is how you meditate. This is how you pray. Here are the steps that you need to take to find meaning and experience a connection with the divine. It's a common pattern. Spirituality, religion, that originates with human beings is always about you making your way to the heights, achieving enlightenment, awareness, eternal life by taking various steps, doing various things that will bring about self-transformation. Sometimes, and maybe you have heard this, sometimes Christianity is even presented in the same way. God sent Jesus, we're sometimes told, to model the life that we are supposed to live, and so you must be like Jesus in order to go to heaven. Now, if you are here this evening looking for something you can do to be more connected to God, if you know deep down that you need something more, that you're not all that you should be, and you're looking for a new way of living that will give you that new way, I suppose I have some bad news. Jesus, this child who grew up to be the man, said that for you personally to achieve that connection with God, for you to be spiritually whole and well and to go to be with God after you die, you must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That is, never say or do or even desire to do anything contrary to God's law that he gives us in the Bible. The greatest law being love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all of your strength and all of your mind. Now you might say to yourself, well, that's great because I do love God a whole lot. In fact, that's why I'm here trying to figure out who he is and draw close to him. But the word Jesus uses for love, agape, doesn't just mean feel love for God. Jesus means that you must bend every fiber of your being, every thought, every word, every action, every moment to obeying him and giving him glory. Do you do that? Have you ever done that? I'll answer the question for you. No, you haven't. And neither have I. Now, that's no surprise to God. He knows that you don't. Jesus, who said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," also said, "No one is good but God." And he says, speaking about each and every one of us, out of the heart of man and woman come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. He could have gone on. All these evil things come from within and they corrupt the person. Jesus says to be with God, we must be perfect as he is perfect. But he also says not only that we're not good, but that that not goodness, which scripture calls sin, is not just a matter of not doing the right things, but it's burrowed itself into the depths of our heart and mind and souls, so that we have all become corrupted by it. Well, again, that's very disappointing news, isn't it? I hope I brought you all down on Christmas Eve. I've told you some very bad news. God made us good, but now actual goodness, and I'm not talking about the everyday goodness we all like to do, like giving food to hungry people or bringing your neighbor's trash cans in. I'm talking about the deep inner goodness that God demands. That's gone. So if finding God, as every religion suggests, means pleasing God by performing some good work, you have no hope. Bad trees don't produce good fruit. And I just have one more bit of bad news for you, and then we'll get to the good news. It's appointed man wants to die, and then comes judgment. And the penalty of sin is death, that is eternal, an eternal kind of dying. Now, I hate to say this, but I do hope, it was my intention, it was my purpose coming here tonight, I do hope that you are thoroughly depressed at this point. I pray that you are despairing, that there's anything you can do to help yourself. Now, why? Am I just a mean person? Well, I am, but that's not the only reason. Because if you're in that spot, it means you are just the right point to remember and hear, perhaps for the first time, Gabriel's words to Mary: nothing is impossible with God. What you and I cannot do, be good enough, climb high enough, pray purely enough, God has done for you. God so loved the world. God so loved you. Seeing that we have wandered so far away and cannot make our way home, that he sent his Son. God the Son. To find you and to bring you to be with him forever. Jesus of Nazareth, truly a man and truly God. God came in Jesus to do what you cannot do, to live in perfect holiness and obedience to his Father, to be perfect as his Father in heaven is perfect for you in your place, and then to take onto himself the weight, the eternal weight of every sin of thought or word or deed that you have ever or will ever commit, and to endure the real eternal consequences for them in your place, in his death on the cross. This is why Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." It's because no other way will do. Every other way depends on you. No prayer, no chant, no list of good deeds. You must forsake all of that, forsake yourself even, and turn to and trust in Jesus and place your whole self and your life in his hands. The one who loves you and who has always loved you has come to you in the virgin's womb. And he's made his way through rejection, through suffering, and the dark veil of death, and through even the torments of hell, to rescue you from yourself. to make you whole and clean, to forgive your sins and to take away your guilt, and to bring you to his Father, and to give you life. Won't you come to him tonight? But you say, maybe I've gone too far. Maybe I've done too much. Maybe I've dug myself a hole that's too deep for him to even find me, take me out. There is no stain able to withstand his precious blood. And he promises you here tonight, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For this is the will of my Father, he says, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So I pray that tonight you will look upon him and that you'll believe and trust those words. Trust Jesus himself, who is your King and your Savior, and live. Now, whether you are tonight just coming to Jesus for the first time, or you have already come and you are already his, I invite you to pray with me. The gospel is not just for those who are new to it, but it's for all of God's children for all time. I'll pray. You pray with me silently. The Lord be with you. Most merciful God, I confess that I have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, by what I have done and by what I have left undone. I have not loved you with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength and all my mind, and I have not loved my neighbor as myself. I am truly sorry, and I humbly repent. But you, O Lord, in your great mercy and love for me, have sent your Son Jesus, born of a virgin, to live and die and rise again to save sinners. And so tonight I believe in and trust in him and in his work alone for the forgiveness of all my sins, for eternal life, and most of all, for reconciliation with you, my Lord and my God. And I pray all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, who died for me. Amen.